Will you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Let's pray. Father, it is with great joy again we come to, Lord, to think about You, to think about Your Word, Your truth. Lord, we confess our great need for You to enlighten us, for You, Lord, to open our eyes to understand it and apply its truth. Lord, we confess that we fail in many ways. We stumble, God, and we wander in many ways, and yet, Lord, we're thankful that Your Spirit is working in us, God, to produce in us a more holy character. That You are, Lord, working to perfect us in Christ until He comes. That You are, Lord, illuminating our understanding as believers. You are, God, even this very moment, God, working in Your church to grow us and to mature us in faith. So, Lord, we rejoice in that. Even in our immaturities, even in our failures, even in our weaknesses, God, there's room for rejoicing, for we know, God, that You are working even in those things. Thank You, Father, for our time in the Word now. I pray that You would be honored, You would be glorified. Father, Your church would be edified, built up, strengthened, grown. In all things, God, may You be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back on, I think it was January the 31st, I preached a message about the Lord's Supper, just looking at different features of the Lord's Supper. In other words, what are we doing when we gather here? And this morning, I just want to look at one of those. And you can go back and look at those at another time. But I just want to look at one of those, and that is remembering Jesus. A memorial. That when we gather around this table, this is the Lord's memorial. This is a moment where we actually remember Jesus. Now, if we come to this table and we don't remember Jesus, we've failed. It's just an empty ritual, isn't it? It's just something that's done at churches on Sunday morning. It's not the Lord's Supper. In fact, we're going to see there in the church at Corinth that they weren't really observing the Lord's Supper either. Paul says that. But I want to just look at this one particular aspect of the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ, particularly remembering His death. It is, I think, the most basic understanding of the meal, right? It's the most basic thing that we do when we come here. It's a symbolic memorial. It is an object lesson. It's a visual reminder of Jesus. Now you know this. I know this. My wife will tell you this about me, that forgetfulness on this side of heaven is a real problem for Christ Church. Yeah. It's a real problem. One type of forgetfulness we label as a sickness of the mind. Right, we label it something like amnesia, or the deterioration of the brain. We might call it dementia. Right, we call that a sickness. Some of you are snickering at that. I don't know why, but you are. My father works with these kinds of folks. We dementia patients, early stage Alzheimer's, and those kind of things. And talking to the families and watching the progression of that disease, he used words like sad, painful to watch, devastating to families. Now, we grieve at that kind of thing, don't we? We get alarmed at that kind of forgetfulness, and we should. I mean, I long for the day when those kinds of diseases are done away with in the resurrection. Amen? I long for that day, just like you. Well, people with those kinds of issues, if they want to slow down the progression of dementia, they're told to exercise. They're told to eat right, right? They're told to abstain from alcohol or tobacco. And they're also told to exercise their minds, to exercise their thinking. Use memory triggers or visual stimulation if they want to slow that down. But I want to tell you this morning, there's something far worse than that kind of forgetfulness. Do you understand? There is something far worse than that kind of forgetfulness. And it's the kind of forgetfulness that you and I usually apologize for. The kind of forgetfulness that involves neglect. The kind of forgetfulness where we didn't or refused to put reminders in front of ourselves. Now that may not be such a big deal if you forgot some minor household chore, Tanya. Or maybe a non-essential appointment. Well, you know, maybe not so bad. But it is a big deal when we've made a vow to follow Christ and we forget and we neglect to put reminders in front of ourselves and live as if no such commitment ever existed. This is a sickness, folks. It's deeper than just the sickness of the mind. It is a sickness of the soul. It is a sin sickness. And one of the problems that I see in the church is that we don't get alarmed at this kind of sickness. Shouldn't we be alarmed about professing believers who continue in sin? Shouldn't we be greatly concerned about professing Christians coming to the memorial of our Lord and living as if He doesn't exist? Shouldn't we? I think we should be greatly alarmed. Shouldn't we be alarmed at our own forgetfulness that's revealed in our manner of life? Shouldn't we as a church, I think, take every opportunity to put before professing believers reminders so that we joyfully follow Christ? More urgently than we treat a sickness of the mind, shouldn't we treat and work to prevent the sickness of the soul, that is, a forgetfulness of Christ and His saving work? The modern church is not alone in its forgetfulness. It seems, as you go through biblical history, that God's people have always struggled with forgetfulness. Ancient Israel was such a people. You may remember God's deliverance of Israel from their bondage and slavery in Egypt. Celebrated certainly in the reminder, God's reminder, by the way, the Passover. Reminded in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Reminded concerning their journey through the wilderness with the Feast of Booths. You may recall the last plague upon Egypt, that is the plague of the firstborn. You remember the lamb that was slain for every household and the blood presented on the doors there so that the death angel would pass over that house and the firstborn spared. What a gracious God we have. You may remember God, through Moses, parting the Red Sea that God's people may pass through it and protect them. You may remember as they wandered in the wilderness, God's provisions of quail and God's provisions of manna, right? That bread from heaven. You may remember God providing water from the rock. And yet in spite of all of that, all the things that God did for him, they cried out, they grumbled against Moses and against God. And here's what they said, saying it was better for us in Egypt. Really? Really? Making your own bricks? Gathering your own straw? All the hardships of your slavery to the Egyptians? How soon, folks, we forget the goodness of God and we forget the goodness of God to us. His redemption, His salvation, His deliverance. We are prone to forget, and prone to forget some of the most important things. God knows how soon humanity forgets. Back in Jeremiah chapter 18, the Bible tells us about Israel's apostasy there, particularly in chapter 18. In verse 15, the Lord summarizes Judah's apostate condition with this simple charge, "But my people have forgotten me." They make offerings to false gods. They made them stumble in their ways in the ancient roads and to walk into the side roads and not the highway. That little summary assessment there in verse 15 is repeated all the way through chapter 18. All through 18 chapters of the first part of Jeremiah there. Just a couple of verses. Let me share these with you. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. "Can a virgin forget her ornaments? or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Wow. Jeremiah 3:21, a voice on the bare heights is heard, the weeping and pleading of Israel's sons, because they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Jeremiah 13:25, this is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in lies. What an indictment it is, right? What an indictment it is when those to whom the Lord has come forget Him. Forget Him. They are, in essence, doing something that ought to be that ought to go against that which is natural, if you will. I mean, think about this. Even pagans don't forget their gods, right? It is, if I could say it this way, it is a spiritual suicide for someone to forget their God. Forgetfulness is common. It is a deadly spiritual disease. I think this is why God's Word gives us so much emphasis to calling us to remember, right? Over and over again. I mean, much of the burden of Moses' message to the Israelites in Deuteronomy is a warning them not to forget the Lord and exhorting them to remember Him and His salvation. I mean, if you just want to just do a quick reading through Deuteronomy chapter 6, let me read some of this for you at the beginning of verse 4. You know this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, it wasn't just enough to give them that. Here's what he says. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? Because everywhere they went, God wanted them to be reminded of what He had commanded them, or be reminded of what He had told them. David penned two Psalms of remembrance. I think it's Psalm 38 and Psalm 70. You can read those on your own, but just so you know, the Bible's full of reminders. The same emphasis is found in the New Testament as well. In the midst of their sufferings, you remember those Hebrew children, right? Those Hebrew Christians had to be reminded that those to whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You have forgotten, there it is, the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives. Peter, in 2 Peter, and this is what Tommy spoke to us on Wednesday night. I love this. Great reminder for us Wednesday night. Peter urges his readers there in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, right, love. Then he explains that he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Certainly the Apostle Peter saw that a big part of his responsibility was to remind the followers of Christ of the things that they already know. Paul explained to the Roman church, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you. Romans chapter 15, verse 15. He sent Timothy to Corinth in order to remind them of his ways in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Peter, again, plainly declared his purpose in writing to his fellow believers there in 2 Peter. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them, and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, that's his body, to stir you up by reminding you. He goes on to say this. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things, even after my decease. Even after I'm dead, I'm going to make sure you've got these reminders set in place so you don't forget. I mean, part of the pastoral ministry, those of us who preach, those of us who teach, those of us who lead in church, part of our pastoral ministry is given over to reminding God's people of the Lord and His ways. Paul admonishes both Timothy and Titus this way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. In Titus 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. It's not that they didn't know, they just need to be reminded. Just like us. He also encourages, Paul does, his young pastor friend to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as he preached in my gospel. That's 2 Timothy 2:8. Listen, there are some things that might be okay to forget, right? Some bad stuff, right? Some former sins, some things that are in our past. Might be some, but not the things of Christ, not the things of God. Paul again said, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. To forget this, and you forget this, and gospel ministry becomes impossible. The Lord's Supper. What are we doing in the Lord's Supper? We are remembering, but there's something else that we're doing. We are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. To forget that, then it becomes impossible for us to proclaim the Lord's death. Right? If we don't remember it, we certainly can't proclaim it. All of these reminders, listen, are accurate assessments of our tendency to forget. Forget. Which brings me back to the Lord's Supper. Jesus said what? Do this in remembrance of me. I mean, I think it's amazing. I really do. It's amazing that we need to be reminded of the sacrificial death of our Savior. But it's true. I mean, what a commentary on the power of remaining sin that certainly resides within every believer. What a testimony to the subtle strategies of the devil and the alluring deceptions of the world. I mean, it seems unthinkable, doesn't it, that people who have been rescued from the wrath of God and granted eternal salvation would ever forget the one who at such great cost to himself saved us. Yet sadly, it is our tendency, we forget. I want us to see together that this kind of forgetfulness is not just some casual misstep. It's not some accidental act. It is, listen to me very carefully, it is sinful neglect to forget Christ. Do you understand? It is sinful neglect. It is in one sense a doorway to greater sin. We forget. And so we live as if we were never cleansed from our former sins. We forget the wickedness of our sins and what it cost our Savior to redeem us from it. I mean, isn't that why a part of the reason we complain and we grumble? Because we forget the greatness of incomparable worth, all that is ours in Jesus Christ. Isn't that why we hesitate to forgive others? Because we forget how great our sin against God is in comparison to people's offenses against us. Isn't that why we live in and are paralyzed by our own fears? Because we forget that life is ours in this one and in the next. And we are immortal until Christ takes us home. Someone said before me. This is why we wallow in self-pity and guilt. We forget that God in Christ has forgiven us completely and saved us wholly on the merits of Jesus Christ. That's why we get depressed and we lose hope and we become joyless and we settle into spiritual mediocrity. We forget Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, has conquered every one of our enemies and given us a sure future in heaven. How gracious and kind and condescending of Christ to give us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper so that by it we may be dramatically called to remember Him on a regular basis. The Lord's Supper, listen to me, is a valuable object lesson. It is a vital visual reminder. The church cannot neglect so great a reminder. It is in one sense Christ love letter to His church, right? One that we participate in together with Christ and with one another. And you can't lose such a letter. You can't lose such a letter. But I have to warn you, be careful. The supper is not meant to point to itself, right? We can't make an idol out of these things. It's not something that's meant to point to itself, but to the Lord Himself. It is possible for us to come to the table and participate in the elements and not remember Christ at all. In fact, this was the church at Corinth. Paul says in verse 20 of chapter 11. Some of you are still holding your place there. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. He says you're coming together, you're eating a meal, but it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. They weren't remembering Christ at all in that meal. Listen, for them, it had become about their own bellies. It was about their own cliques, their own prominence. Not to remember and proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. It wasn't about Jesus at all. In fact, you go up there to verse 17, Paul's not happy. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. Paul's upset, isn't he? Why is he so agitated? Because they're missing the whole point of the meal. They were missing the whole point of the meal. They'd made it about themselves and not about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Listen, I just want to encourage you as we're thinking about coming and gathering around this table. And listen, it's more than just a gathering around this table. This, what we do as a people, what we do as a church, when we participate in the ordinances, listen, all of this, everything, not just this moment, but every moment that we exist as a church, it is not about us. It can't become about us. It can't be about our likes and our dislikes, our preferences, not even our comforts. Right? We are participating in something that is supernatural. We are a part of something bigger than ourselves. We are the church of Jesus Christ, created by Him and for Him, right? And this moment, when we gather around this table, this too is a supernatural act of communing with Christ. It's a spiritual event. Yes. Where we remember Him. This is the means by which our Lord gave to us to remember Him in His death. We are to think seriously about Him and to meditate on Him and His substitutionary death for us, and His body broken and His blood that brought us into an inseparable new covenant relationship with God. How wonderful that is. So, an obedient Christian who submits to the command, "Do this," cannot long remain a forgetful Christian if it is done in remembrance of Christ. You see, forgetfulness is a great enemy, I think, to a joyful and a faithful Christian life. We must not underestimate our need for encouragement to remember Christ, and we cannot neglect the very means by which He Himself has given to us to do so. If we're going to remember Christ, we got to do the things that He told us to do. Yes. To remember Him, right? And this is part of it. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for this simple reminder this morning that when we gather, Lord, not just around this table, but especially around the table, that when we gather, we are gathered for You. We are gathered to remember Christ and His sacrifice and His body and His blood. Oh Lord God, I pray that we would forsake our preferences and our likes and our dislikes and our comfort and all those things, God. That we would be careful, Father, to confess our sins and our selfishness. Lord, we might learn Christ and love Him and know Him. Lord, we're grateful that You brought this church into existence by Your power and Your grace. And You are so wise, God. And You provided every means of grace to grow us in holiness and love. And now, Lord, we thank You for this particular means of grace, this memorial of Your dying love, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we pray that You would teach us how to handle holy things with care, to approach this in a manner worthy of Christ. You've invited us, Lord Jesus. You've invited Your church to come, to partake, to remember. So God, today, as we remember, may we come with confidence and with joy, knowing it was this blood and this body that qualifies us to do so. We look forward to a nobler and more accurate worship one day, God, where all these symbols and shadows will be laid aside, where there will be no more memorials needed, and only the truth and the glory and the face of our Savior remains. In whose name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.